Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And it's that week between Christmas and New Year's. You know, the week where you not a whole lot to do at work, but you have to go in anyway, so you're really kind of hiding the fact that you're surfing the internet and reading Reddit and posting on YouTube and maybe even playing Zumba. We're here to help. We've got an extra episode. That's right. This is the stuff we recorded at the Holiday Geek Expo at the beginning of December. And we start, well, first off, we don't have any Joe. I know that makes people sad. And we don't have gin, which doesn't surprise anyone at all. But what we do have are two times Corey sat down with people at the Holiday Geek Expo. The first is when I sat down with longtime pal and co-host of the Solitaire Rose podcast on Mad the Comic Book, Tommy Lang. Tommy dropped by with his lovely fiance. We got caught up with him, learned a little more about him for the upcoming podcast, and generally we're kind of testing to see if we could do this without screwing it up too bad. Now, so here we go with the first part of this week's episode.
I have Tommy here. Tommy was with us.
Oh, what did I do?
Okay. Nothing. There we go. Okay. Tommy was here on the podcast when we talked DC, and we're going to be doing that again when I get a spare moment.
Yeah, so what, sometime in 2017.
But you're here at the Holiday Geek Expo.
I am.
And what sort of stuff are you looking for?
Yeah. Geek stuff, stuff to waste my hard-earned money on.
Well, that's good.
Things that I can't afford, you know.
Well, the good thing is, you know, because it's all vendors, you can talk them down.
That's true.
And cash is king.
Cash,
that's what they
king.
Always tell
yeah,
us.
Well,
cash
I don't
is
have
king.
Any cash. That's probably a good thing.
Well, okay. So
it's safer that way. I'm less inclined to.
So what sort of stuff have you been up to lately?
What have I been up to lately? Mainly personal life, real life things. So
what's a personal life?
Well, you know, like we are going to be married.
Really?
The lovely Don and I, yes. Sometime next year, probably May-ish.
Oh, okay.
Looking to move into a house rather than a tiny little apartment.
The dogs will be happy.
The dogs will be thrilled. In the yard, so they can pee in that instead of on my carpet. So
it's or on the cold sidewalk.
On the cold sidewalk, yes.
Well, that's good, yeah. But artistically?
Artistically, mainly just at work. I've been very busy. You know, I am a demigod. I make trees.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, first off, tell us a little about what you do now, and then one of the things I want to talk about is the licensed work you used to do.
Oh, well, I mean, now I basically make full-scale replica trees for theme parks. Disney is a huge client, so as a result, I have work in every Disney park worldwide, which is kind of looks good on a resume, whether it's actually cool or not, I don't know. But prior to that, yeah, I had done, was the visual supervisor at Camp Snoopy, so dealt directly with the Schultz people on making everything look Schultzy, which was fun. I had heard they were very difficult, but I had nothing but good things to say about them. A breeze to work with. It was fun kind of maintaining that Schultz look. Prior to that, then I had worked with some Warner Brothers and Disney characters creating, you know, back when Warner Brothers stores were a thing, all the sort of tchotchke stuff, you know, a Tweety Bird cookie jar or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Designing and sculpting that sort of stuff.
Now, when you worked for Camp Snoopy, mm-hmm. There was a lot of...
$1 million.
How often did you have to create new things? Because I know that my son and I would go, and one of the things we like to do, we would go for New Year's Eve. He liked it because I'm the easiest person on the planet to hypnotize. So we would see the hypnotist, and I'd be the one in the audience with his hand up immediately. When he said, sleep, put your hand up, and I would be, boom, okay. And they would come get me from the crowd because two or three of the people up there weren't hypnotizing me. I was out. I was done.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot to do with the live entertainment aspect of it other than costuming the characters, creating the stage environment, and props, things like that.
Oh, yeah, nothing to do with
nothing
the...
Nothing to do with that. Were I to hypnotize somebody, I don't think I'd make you raise your hand.
No, you'd make
something
me...
Something far more sinister.
Yeah, you'd make me give you all my EC volumes.
Well, yeah. Except Mad and Panic, I have those. So you keep those.
Color or black and white?
I have the color Mad. I would love to get the black and white.
I think I need to hide that from you then.
You probably do. This is why I never go to your house, I guess.
No, well, and people aren't allowed in the Solitaire Rose compound.
Okay.
We have an armed cat that keeps people out.
Yeah, all right.
So, now, did you have to, like, create new Snoopy art and, and stuff like that for different seasons or different events?
Signage, different events. We had Camp Spooky. Some of that we maintained the Schultz look. Other things were, like, we did an Area 51 and a half with aliens and all sorts of signage that mocked the whole Area 51. But for, like, the Peanuts characters' live stage shows, yeah, it was... creating art in the Schultz style have them interact with. And when I started, I was told, well, you have to get everything approved by the Schultz family and United Media, so, plan way ahead. I sent my first stuff in. We got a letter from, I think it was signed by Jill Schultz herself, his daughter, saying, you know what, if everything is of this caliber, just do it. Don't even bother to have
Well, that's good to see.
Yeah, and they said that had never happened in ever. So that was cool.
And yet they didn't ask you to continue the strike.
No, funny thing. I would have happily taken that on.
I think I've talked on the podcast about, you do know that the syndicate back in the, I think it was either the 50s or 60s, had a bunch of substitute strips drawn. And when Schultz found out about it, he threw a fit.
Yeah.
But you do know, who drew them?
That I don't know. No.
Wayne Boring.
Is that right?
The Superman artist, Wayne Boring.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. No, I knew they had a sort of a stockpile in case he imploded that, just ready to go. But yeah, I also knew that he pretty much went ballistic when he found it and threatened to walk. So
you've also put together some movie scripts and made a movie.
Yes.
Yep. Is that movie still available, by the way?
You'll have to talk to Tim about that. I personally don't have a copy of the very movie that I made. I have an empty DVD case if anybody wants that.
Well, I have a copy of the movie if you need to make copies.
Yeah, I might need to borrow that, yes. Like Orson Welles, he didn't have anything of his either. So.
Now, the one I remember that I helped you with was Cherry Bomb.
Yes.
And I think the story of how it imploded is almost as interesting as any movie.
Yeah.
So, talk me through what happened with Cherry Bomb, kind of the big picture version.
The big picture version. Well, Cherry Bomb was sort of a spoof of not only just comic book superhero characters, but movies and the kind of the universes met. So within the, it's sort of a meta-fiction sort of a thing. So within the story, they're aware that they're commodities as well as heroes. They belong to a company that will let them do certain things, won't let them do certain things. They're bound by, it's like if Marvel and DC actually had real characters working for them.
You're telling me that
there's no Santa Claus or Easter Bunny.
No, the Marvel Universe is real. It's just it's separate from ours.
Okay, all right. Well, okay. So that if we were in the Marvel
Universe. Oh, okay. Thank you.
What I'm getting at. No worries. You're good. It's all good. Anyway, so this, it's a project I've been tinkering with since 1995, so 20 years now.
Oh, that's good.
So what was this, back 2004? Three or four? I was introduced to somebody who had a bit of money. He was going to give me $30,000 to get it off the ground. Now, that wouldn't have been enough to complete it. It would have been seed money. We could have got production started. Once you have something to show investors, it's much, much easier to get other people involved. Had a contract signed and everything, and lawyers involved and all that. Had auditions, had a great cast lined up, had some good behind-the-scenes talent. Literally, 11th hour, I got a phone call from this guy who's my age. I'm 50, and at the time, in my 40s, his mother wouldn't let him do it. So,
Mom says I can't make the movie.
Mom says I can't make the movie. So I had to, you know, I had already spent some money since we had signed some agreements and things, so he did pay me back for that. Thank you. But and I found out literally as we were having a cast reading. At my house, everybody was gathered around. We were going to go.
I was there.
You were there. Yes, you were. And like, as people were coming, I got a phone call. And he was like, I hate to, I don't know how I can tell you this. And hemmed and hawed. I'm like, yeah, I know what you're going to say. Goodbye. And so I, you know, threatened legal action. And then I didn't have to. He did cop up. Which, you know, it was only about $1,000. So he did pay that back.
But it's not dead.
It's not dead, no. And I did shop it to an animation studio in London. They were very interested to the point where they wanted me to assemble a potential voice cast. They imploded before the project could.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so
you know, at least the project didn't die. They did.
The studio did, yes. So nothing happened there. So if anybody out there wants to throw some cash into a movie, just reach me through Corey.
And then there are rumors of a project that you and I might be working on
yes,
next
there
year.
Yes, there are. There are rumors. You know more about than I do at this juncture.
Well, and I don't want to be spilling a lot of beans,
no,
but
you don't.
One of the reasons I'm bringing Tommy
very
in.
Tight-lipped right now because I don't want to.
One of the reasons I'm bringing Tommy in, Tommy has some experience in episodic entertainment and putting together scripts, whereas if you listen to this podcast, you know that I just blather on.
It's very clear. You don't have any script.
Although there's Novelcast at novels.solitairerose.com. Go over there, listen to it, then go to Facebook and friend it and have fun. And
that's your element. So.
Please, for the love of God, tell everyone you know.
The guy needs to eat. Go there. Listen to them. They're good.
But I got Tommy coming in. I've got Dangerous Dan Moore involved. We're putting together some stuff. There will be more podcasts next year because I'm crazy. I figure, you know what? Three podcasts isn't enough.
No.
I want four, maybe five.
Who needs a personal life, really?
What's a personal life?
I don't know.
Well, we will get together soon. We will do the next episode of Mad.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that because we're starting to really get into the good stuff. So.
Yes, and I noticed on your Facebook you asked for the new Mad paperbacks.
I did, just because I'm obsessive compulsive and have to have everything that is ever published. So.
DC, who now owns EC, except not EC's horror stuff, and I don't understand
how it
works. But they have put out paperbacks for each of the Mad artists.
Well, only three.
Well,
I mean, they're the three.
Yes.
Of course, Will Elder, Jack Davis, and Wally Wood.
And going back to our discussion, I noticed there's no John Severin paperback.
There is no John Severin paperback. Now, I wish somebody would do a book on the art of John Severin because I like John Severin's work for the other EC titles. Not so much for Mad. Felt he's a little stiff for Mad, but I also liked his work at Cracked. So.
And I absolutely adored his stuff at Marvel.
Yes.
I've gone back and have started reading the Sergeant Fury stuff.
Yes.
So you've got, you know, Kirby at the beginning, then you have Dick Ayers, who is a solid artist. I'm not going to say he's one of my favorites,
no,
but
he did a workmanlike job, yeah.
And then John Severin came on, and the book just kind of took a step up, whereas the stories took a step down.
Yeah.
So for me, as a story-driven person, it's like, boy, I really like this art. Too bad these
stories suck. Yeah. well, you know, and he did a lot with Kurtzman's, like, Two-Fisted Tales.
Yes.
He and Will Elder collaborated on some of those. They look beautiful.
And he was the editor the last few issues
yes,
of Two-Fisted Tales.
Correct.
And he also did, at Marvel, he actually worked with the Robert E. Howard stuff. So there's that Call the King, King Call.
He did some Incredible Hulk as well.
Yep. He and his sister worked on those.
Yes. Yeah, I like Marie, too. There's actually a book about her that somebody ought to do a book about John.
Yes. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Thanks for seeing you.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you in a while.
Spend some money and, you know, regret it later.
Yeah, but they're gifts.
They are gifts.
You're buying gifts. That's the important thing.
For myself, probably.
Well,
Christmas is
you know what you want.
I do know what I want more than anybody does. So, yeah.
And one of the other things that I bring up about Tommy is the person who has had the Festivus parties.
Yes. Yeah, they might be a thing of the past. I don't know. Maybe next year Don and I will revive the festival.
But I did like the Festivus party last year because it was just us sitting around. I don't even know what movie we watched, but kind of doing our own Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, Atomic. Unbeknownst to us, somebody brought dinosaurs to the expo.
I really hope that's not going to go on all day, Dan.
Wow, okay.
So, please let me know.
Yes.
Your Festivus grievances for our upcoming episode.
I will air my grievances.
And I think one of those grievances we have on the recording now.
That noise back there.
Well, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.
That's my friend Tommy. Now, next is a longtime guest of the show. We've talked about him since episode 1. He came back about a year and a half ago. It's our friend Birch. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Butch. But he explains why we call him Birch. Or does he? I don't remember. You want to know why I don't remember? You know how we were supposed to do a Festivus episode last week? Well, Sunday night I decided instead I would go to the ER so that I could get surgery on Monday. And we'll be talking about that in next week's podcast. Don't worry, I'm okay. My gallbladder decided to defect to the other side. It turned evil, and it had to be removed. And you know where they say, rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst. It was 9. How long has it been at a 9? Since I got in my car. That's right, I drove with that amount of pain. It was a long drive because I was at St. Paul. I tried turning the radio up, but that didn't seem to help. And when I got home, you know, I'm still in intense pain, and I lay down and I grab the phone and I call my mother, who's a former RN, and tell her, explaining, you know, the kind of pain. And she says, you need to go to the urgent care and you need to go right goddamn now. And I went in and they took care of me, and I'm back home. And I'm recovering. So, oh my gosh, like anybody who goes to the hospital for surgery, I've got tons of stories, and I bet you can't wait to hear about them. Okay, we're not going to tell a lot of stories about my surgery. We will tell stories about comic books and being in the hospital, though. Yeah, that'll be a weird theme. Anyway, here's Butch.
You're one of the few people I can talk to this stuff about. So, Team Up Comics from the 70s.
Team Up Comics from the 70s. Yes, I have them all. Most of them drawn by my good friend Ron Wilson.
Well, Sal Buscema drew a lot of Team Up.
Yes, he did.
So, what are the big team ups that you remember best, Butch?
That I remember. I have to skip ahead to one that I've been thinking about more recently, although I don't remember it well. But with the Jessica Jones series having come on and the Purple Man being the villain, I keep thinking of this Marvel team up annual with Spider-Man and Power Man and Iron Fist and Moon Knight, and I think somebody else.
And who was it drawn by there, Butch?
The cover drawn by Frank Miller.
I think he drew the interiors too, didn't he?
I don't remember if he did, and it's quite possible that he did. I've been thinking about that one a lot. I was intrigued by it as a kid because I liked the what I call street level heroes all teaming up. Daredevil was the other one.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, Daredevil, Power Man, and Iron Fist, and Moon Knight against the Purple Man. And I don't remember it well, but I've been thinking about it, and I'd like to take a look at it.
I remember one scene from that, which was the Purple Man in one of those horse-drawn carriages in Central Park,
mm-hmm.
ordering people around.
Don't remember it.
And here's how sad I am as a comic book reader. Yeah. What's the Purple Man's name?
Something Kilgrave.
Kilgrave.
Yes.
Yeah, Kilgrave. That's subtle.
Yeah, it is. And he wasn't like Kilgrave the killer.
No.
He was the Purple Man, and his name was Kilgrave.
Yes. Kind of like in...
Otto Octavius.
Is Stan like the alliteration because it helped him remember? You know, characters like Peter Palmer.
And Bob Banner.
Yeah, Bob Banner.
Yep. One of... Yes, remembering them.
Yeah, I love Don McGregor, but some of the names he chose. Yeah, the bad guy for the Panthers Rage, Eric Killmonger.
Eric Killmonger, yeah.
What kind of parent goes, what's our last name?
Killmonger.
I don't like that last name. Let's go with Killmonger.
Okay, yeah.
We'll be able to get decent jobs with that name. We'll be able to fit into society.
Yeah, Nelson just doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
Hi, Wolfie.
Hello.
Yo, Wolfie could come over and join us if he wanted.
It could be a team up.
See, because I remember when I started reading comics, I'd read the letters pages.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel team up was not well liked. And when I go back and I read them, I could see why, because they were all one-shots and they were kind of silly. But my friends used to call it Marvel throw up. Because it's... Good God, Wolfie. Back off.
Hi.
Wolfie's inside my personal bubble.
Yes, he is. And I will soon be inside your personal bubble.
One of the things we used to do at the group home for our training is...
Just team up.
Well, no, but we would have...
One.
We would be at opposite ends of a room to kind of show, okay, how big is your personal bubble, you know, to train?
Yeah.
That you're not supposed to get too close to the kids when you're working with them. So we'd be at the opposite ends of the room. Okay, walk forward until you feel uncomfortable that someone's in your personal bubble. I would take two steps and go, okay, that's close enough.
All right, that's close Everybody enough. Back up. Back here, way back.
But let's remember, Marvel Team Up is the one where somebody stole the island of Manhattan.
Yep.
Which is, you know, secured to in bedrock.
No,
and then
I think
Hercules,
it's just a barge.
Hercules dragged it back by wrapping chains around himself.
Yep, and apparently
attaching the chain to the island and walking
to
it back.
To a hook or something in the island. And dragging it right back into the specific spot where it...
Verily!
Yes.
And much, much alcohol was drinking that day.
I wonder if he just made that up.
That was the explanation they used in the 80s when somebody said, what happened with that story? Well, we pretty much think Hercules was exaggerating.
There you go. That's great. That's a good cop-out. It was not an imaginary story. Hercules imagined it.
Oh, yeah.
Not as big as the imagination of Secret Wars 2, where Beyonder, he was inhuman,
no.
And he imagined everything that happened.
And so it's not even a story.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this.
Here's a dream I had last night.
Before I go on to this, and Corey gets mad at me, is it actually picking me up, one of the mics?
Yes.
Okay, good. When talking about the Hercules stuff, I'm trying to remember which one it was, but there was a story where Hercules was telling a story of about how he and Thor got into a fight.
Yes.
And it was going on and on. Finally, somebody pointed out to him that the kid that was getting bullied had a Thor picture.
Yeah.
And suddenly, Hercules goes, and then I picked up his car and smashed him over the head with it. And that's when Thor got mad.
Yep. That was the one fill-in issue in Walt Simonson's run.
Yep. By Tom DeFalco.
Is that written by Tom?
Yep.
Drawn by Butch Jackson Geis?
Probably.
It was. Great issue. A lot of fun.
You drew it, Butch?
Yes, that's right. No, but at the time I was drawing a lot of in my math homework
because
I was in high school.
Well, that's good because Butch Geis kind of got a lot of trouble at Marvel for swiping.
From Michael Golden?
No, from pictures and everything.
Well, that's not swiping.
Well, Marvel got sued because he used a...
That's
Amy
right,
Grant
Amy Grant, Doctor Strange, that was later, yeah.
Yeah, he used an Amy Grant album cover and kind of lightboxed it to
do a Doctor Strange cover.
Yes. And she sued because she didn't want to be associated with the occult.
Yeah. And she wasn't.
No. And Butch Geist wasn't associated with Doctor Strange much longer. He ended up over on Superman a couple months later. I wonder how that happened.
I remember that cover well. It was an outstanding on the shelf. I bought that issue.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, I bought all the Doctor Strange.
Yeah, well, he was drawing the interiors too, wasn't he? He was good back then, and I'm not saying that he's not now, but I was a fan at the time. I was a huge fan when he was on the Micronauts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I love that. And that's why I made the Michael Golden reference, because he had a style that was reminiscent of Michael Golden, who did the first 12 issues of the Micronauts.
And from what I've read, a lot of artists, image artists, he was their favorite artist, because Art Adams said in a lot of interviews, he just wanted to draw like Michael Golden. And then you had a lot of the image guys who said they just wanted to draw like Art Adams. Art Adams, Art.
Art Adams.
Adam.
Art Adams. Adams. Arthur. I'm coming to get you.
Joe? Joe.
Where's Joe?
Where's Joe?
He's not even here.
Holy smokes.
One of these days, I need to scan those crazy comics, mini comics, and put them up so people will get these jokes.
Yeah, I suppose that's not a bad idea. Or is it?
I don't know. Are they still copyrighted?
Yeah. Maybe you'll find out.
Anybody know that? Yeah. Are you going to sue me if I do it, Butch?
You're going to need Matt Murdock.
Now we'll get Foggy. Foggy's a much better...
Mr. Foggy Law?
So you got Matt Murdock, who's blind, and Foggy, who's...
I was. He wasn't looking.
No.
He's looking over there, thought I was looking. Yeah. That works great in a non-visual medium.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wolfie's scouting for babes.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Matt Murdock and...
And Foggy Nelson.
Non-visual.
Hey, it worked for Andrew Bergen.
Yes, I guess it did.
Yeah.
Number one show in radio in the 30s.
Yeah.
In the 30s, back the last time Mickey Rooney had a big hit.
No. Mickey Rooney was successful with movies in the 40s, and then he was in...
My name is William. Bill for short.
I was thinking more Breakfast at Tiffany's, where he played one of the most racist characters in the history of film.
Man.
Mickey Rooney as the angry upstairs Chinese neighbor.
Oh, he was, huh?
Where they literally colored his skin yellow. And talked in the worst stereotype accent you can imagine. And I don't know at the time, but when I first watched Breakfast at Tiffany's, it's like, oh, you know, this is this really movie. What the hell is that?
Dan, what happened when you first watched Breakfast at Tiffany's? Well, the first time.
I don't see him watching a lot of George Peppard when he's not on the A-team.
On the A-team? Yeah, Breakfast at A-team.
Breakfast at Mr. T's.
A-team at Tiffany's.
I'm pretty de fou. Yeah. Don't bring me in.
You ain't getting me in that chopper.
You ain't getting me in that Tiffany's.
No. With his jewelry, no problem. Yeah.
That's racist. That's racist too, Corey.
Mr. T has now changed his story of why he wears the chains all the time.
He did.
Because his story used to be that he was showing that the chains that brought his ancestors to America have now turned to gold. Now when he's asked about it, he said, well, when I was a bouncer, they'd bring the jewelry to me and I didn't know where to put it, so I'd just wear it so that if people wanted to find their lost jewelry, they could see it. I guess, you know, getting booed at the WWE Hall of Fame and getting yanked off the stage by Sheamus has changed
the
man.
He loves his mother.
I don't mind the fact that he talked about how he loved his mother.
I don't either.
But that poem went on for way too long.
Oh, I don't remember the poem.
He was telling a poem that went 15 minutes and showed no signs of stopping.
I'm going to tell a poem now. He's telling a poem.
He's telling a poem.
Mr. T told a poem.
And yes, there was an A-team comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to ask if he ever teamed up with anybody.
There was the Mr. T comic where he teamed up with Neil Adams.
Yes, he did, in the T-Force.
Mr. T and the T-Force.
And the T-Force.
And it was a cartoon show, and Neil Adams drew it like it was, you know, Green Lantern, Green Arrow in the 70s.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like the cartoon.
I don't don't have a great memory for all the stories and stuff. When I read comics, I'll usually remember, you know, the art team and, you know, where I was and who I was with when I read it. We all remember that.
The
you
Mr.
were alone.
T comic, I don't remember
yeah.
any
well,
stories because they made no sense.
I didn't read it, you know. It's one of the ones that, you know, I had, but...
Where were you on 9/11/2001? Oh, I was reading Green Lantern number 25.
And suddenly this alert came over the news radio.
Which Green Lantern number 25?
The one with A-Team.
I pity the fools not reading Green Lantern.
What was what issue of Showcase was the first Green Lantern? 5?
No. It was later than that. It
25?
Was in the teens. It was in the teens.
That's the one I was reading.
Because Green Lantern
that Green Lantern number 16.
Green Lantern started with the new number one, whereas the Flash picked up the numbering from the 40s. Because, you know, comics make sense like that.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it's been canceled and restarted. Oh, it's been canceled and restarted again. Now there's been like 25 Green Lantern number 25. Numbering doesn't matter.
Not anymore. It doesn't.
Unless
numbered
it's Spawn.
Numbered lives matter.
Number what? Number does?
Numbered lives matter.
How many lives do you have, Wolfie? Is he like a cat with 9 lives?
Well...
how many STDs do you have?
Ooh.
Oh, I lost count.
He had count.
Meh.
And then he lost it.
Yeah.
It's not the only
like
thing
crab.
He's lost.
It's like crabs, but vampires instead.
He's a disturbed little pup.
Pup.
Yeah, pup.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a puppet.
Pup.
And his handler.
Pup. Hand.
Here on an audio podcast.
Lur.
Yep.
And Lur. Hi, Lur. Yeah.
Oh. It's fun.
I'm the podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Now, Butch, have you walked through the Geek Fest here yet?
Only just.
I may be sending you out to get your thoughts and opinions.
Nobody wants my thoughts.
Butch's view of Geek Fest.
I don't even
holiday
have
Expo.
Geek Fest.
Expo.
Expo.
Yeah. Holiday Geek Expo.
Well, I'm not getting paid to be here, so.
Holiday Geek Expo?
Yeah.
No, you don't say.
No one has asked for my autograph yet, so they're not true geeks.
I only sign checks. I've been waiting my whole life to say that. Well, since I first heard it.
Like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Right here at the Holiday Geek Expo.
Yeah.
It'll be over by the time this airs anyway.
Don't care.
The show will be over?
Yeah.
Your show?
Yeah.
Yes.
This remote will be done.
Yeah, this remote will be the crazy
this
podcast.
Is what
will be ended.
This will what crashes the podcast. We're going to break the internet, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably. How about those team-up stories? Those were good.
Holiday Geek Expo teams up with crazy comic stories and whatever.
Yes, marvelous.
I can get your name wrong, too.
Go ahead.
Drawn by Dan Moore.
Joe got it wrong when he set up the Facebook page.
Oh, my God.
For 5 years, it was crazy comics and stuff. And I'm like, Joe, it's crazy comics and stories. You know, like Walt Disney's comics
and
stories.
Oh, neat stories.
And he's like, it doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant.
Irrelevant. We are grilling Joe tomorrow, by the way, about the fact that he denies that he was ever Cray.
Well,
and we have the creator of Crazy Comics right here who can set him straight. It's going to be a rumble in the jungle. It's going to be the beast in the east versus the Cray in his head.
I would have to stay up all night to compile a list of them. Crazy attacks that he laid out on most of his customers, all of his friends, half of his family.
I told the story to Jen a little while back. I don't know if I've told it on the podcast or not, but have I told you the story of my first encounter with Joe?
I don't know if you've told it to me directly, but you have told it on the podcast.
Oh, I have? Okay.
Yes, you have.
Because I was running the Minnesota convention. I was in charge of it. I don't don't know why. It just kind of, everybody said, well, you do it. And back then, running the convention meant saying yes to things and talking to the dealers and calling. My phone was the phone you would call about the convention, so I answered all the phone calls and everything. So, and Joe was involved in the convention and was also a retailer at the convention. And I was at my job, and I had an office job, and my phone rings and I picked it up, and it was Joe. And he doesn't even say, like, hi, how are you?
It's this,
like,
is Joe.
This is Joe.
You listen to me!
I've got some complaints about the convention. And he just starts wailing on me. Just verbally pounding me. For 30 minutes, he's yelling at me. And you need to do this. Joe, I only have so much time and I'm raising a kid on my own. And no, you don't understand. You got to do this for the retailers. And this has got to get done. And if you don't do it, this is an unprofessional environment. Oh my God. And for a half hour, I finally goes, oh, I got customers here. I got to go.
I got customers here. You hadn't known him from the con and met him? And
no, wait. This was, you're right. It's before it was before he had the shop. So it was something like he was at Sears. It was like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta go to work. Or I got people here. I just remember.
There's a special on modems.
He ended the call. And I called one of the other guys.
He did the same thing with me today, but he said he had to go fight terrorism.
And I called one of the other people working the convention and I said, who the hell is this lunatic? What do you mean? He just called and yelled at me for a half hour over all this dealer stuff. You've met him. Maybe, but who the hell is he? And they're like, oh, you know, he sets up as a retailer and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, he's crazy. Who gave him my work number?
See, he came by that name, honestly. He earned it.
And Butch has known him longer than me, so, you know.
Not much longer. It was back about the same time. And I got to know him well because he bought the Hot Comics store over in St. Paul. He and Pat bought it. Got to give Pat credit, too. And that's when I got to know those guys well. But I was getting to know him at that point. But I love the guy. Stop talking
here.
Shit about him and wait till he's here to defend himself.
No, that'll be tomorrow when you unleash his past.
He'll
be
fight your terrorism.
Joe Ryder, this is your life.
This is your life.
The part of your life you deny. I think one of the things about me that I like is I don't deny the stupid, crazy, immature, moronic shit I've done.
You've done that stuff?
Oh, God.
Oh, not me.
I've done so much stupid shit.
You've never done it? No.
No.
Most people haven't.
No.
Oh, just me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
I mean, you know, I don't put, like, my hand up weird things either, so.
No? No, he sure
don't
doesn't.
Don't spend a lot of time doing this.
You folks listening at home, yeah. He sure doesn't.
Nope, there's no snapping involved.
That's a bad thing. When I see Roman Reigns do this, yeah. I'm not thinking that he's loading a gun.
He's
thinking
a puppet.
He's getting ready to fist somebody.
Oh, I thought he was getting ready to puppeteer.
Same thing.
You don't want to do that in the ring.
Well, it is called the Superman Punch.
Well, yeah.
Still would be.
Maybe sick.
That is sick.
I'm a sick, sick, twisted man.
Why do you think like that?
I don't know.
Because everything goes that way. It's all suggestive.
Everything's horrible.
Everything's innuendo.
Everything's horrible.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
I say it all the time.
Yeah.
It's innuendo.
It's the prostate punch.
The people at home. At home. The people who. Where do people listen to this show?
I don't know.
Do they listen on their yacht?
They listen in Germany.
In Germany, okay.
A lot of Russian robots love it.
Cool.
And fembots.
We had a Russian scammer hijack the website a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Wow.
They
must have made off with millions.
Oh yeah, they made tens of cents. But all of a sudden it's like ad block the malware blockers wouldn't let me see my own site. It's like, oh crap. Then I go to iTunes and it's not down. And I go and I wipe the site and re-put it up, didn't fix it. What I found out was, did I ever tell you what we found out?
I don't remember.
It was in the comments.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't allow, comments weren't seen, but they could still be posted. Mm-hmm. They had put a comment up with malware code in it.
Okay.
And that meant anything.
Oh, now I understand.
Anything connected. If you go to any of my sites, it would be, oh, look, here's some Russian malware. Merry Christmas. Enjoy. Okay. And I remember I had to talk to the people who created WordPress to go, I have done everything you suggest. What the hell's going on? And they were very nice. They looked at the site and they said, oh, here's your problem. Get rid of all your comments. Oh, okay.
Slick. And the Vision didn't stop this?
No, the Vision's a very different character now. Have you read Vision number one?
No, not yet.
Vision number one is a horror comic now.
How's Drax? See what I did there?
Yeah.
I have not read Drax number one, even though it's by our pal Phil Brooks.
Oh, it's good, huh?
Oh, by the way, that's CM Punk.
See, he hasn't read it yet, but I say, oh, it's good, huh?
Yeah.
Vision is a horror comic.
Yeah, well, it was weird and creepy and wonderful, and it's one of those where I didn't, it's like the Vision. Vision's been boring since John Byrne literally removed his personality.
Is he all white and ghostly now?
No.
He's back to his original colors. In those colors, it's a horror book.
Nope.
Cyber horror?
No. It's just creepy and weird, and I can't really describe it, but it's just...
Is it supposed to be a horror?
Yes. It's supposed to be creepy and weird.
Oh, he didn't say horrible.
And, no, horrible. That would be the comics that I'm not going to name, because we now have professionals listening to us, and we don't want to annoy them.
Annoy? Offend?
Well, that too.
Who are the professionals? Find their work and make fun of it.
Unless it's Rob Liefeld, I don't care what he thinks.
No, he's doing fine without us.
Yeah, he doesn't need us, and he's certainly not going to listen to us.
And he doesn't need feet or hands. Competent storytelling.
I'll be back.
We'll be here. We're just sitting here talking comics and stuff. It's like a regular episode.
How they say.
So when you read the team-up stories in the 70s,
yes.
Were there any that you were really looking forward to, and then when they came out, you went, oh, yeah.
Well... I don't so much remember it that way. In the 70s, it was more of a spin rack phenomenon where you would, you know, go to the store, see the books, and go, oh, wow, Spider-Man and Daredevil, oh. Corey's yawning, but I haven't even gotten to Spider-Man and the Sons of the Tiger. I love that one.
And what was weird about that, most of the time they would team Spider-Man up with either a new character or characters books were selling real well.
Yeah.
Sons of the Tiger. Oh, yeah, they're in the Deadly Hands of Kung Fu magazine. They're not even in color comics. And that was Marvel's best-selling black and white magazine.
Very nice.
But my parents wouldn't let me buy the black and white magazines because they were $1.50 and a comic's a quarter.
Right. Although I still think they were a buck back then.
I don't know. I'm thinking
Rampaging Hulk.
I'm thinking of the Treasuries.
Oh, the Treasuries, yeah.
Treasuries were $1.50, and getting one of those, my parents were like, no. But I would look at it, it's like, but it's Jack Kirby art.
And it's gigantic.
11 by 17? That's the size he draws it at.
Reprints like four issues.
Oh, I wanted the...
reprints in quotes.
No. I wanted Captain America's Bicentennial
Star
Battles.
Spangled, yeah, that's what it was.
And 2001 A Space Odyssey.
All Kirby.
Both were Kirby. Yep. Both were new.
And so you didn't want the Superman-Spider-Man crossover, huh?
That had...
Because everybody wanted it. Was that $2?
Oh, I... No, I think it was $1.50.
Oh, what a bar.
But that had already come out by the time
I was reading
comics.
Unbelievable, huh? You know, that we weren't reading comics until a Superman and Spider-Man team-up had already taken place.
I had a friend, the friend who had got me hooked on Marvel Comics, who had a copy. When I would go over to his house, I would read it.
Ditto.
And then I would go, well, Spider-Man can't beat Superman.
But he did.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Wiped the floor with him.
Matter of fact, that was why there was the one scene where Superman was about to punch Spider-Man because he was just annoyed by this kid.
Yeah.
And he stopped short, didn't punch him.
Nope.
But the wind from his punch blew Spider-Man through buildings.
Several blocks. He didn't pull his punch like Spider-Man would with a common thug. He literally didn't punch him.
It was like, no. Stopped it right there.
Oh, it was amazing. And really good illustration for the time by Ross Andrew.
Yes.
And who inked that? Dick
Giordano? I would have to look, but I know that a lot of people worked
contributed.
On it. Ramita did a lot of cleanup.
Yeah.
Buscema did a lot of cleanup.
I believe Neil Adams.
Yep, Neil Adams did a lot of cleanup on the Superman
figure. Did the Superman figure, yeah. Yeah, he went in and touched it up.
And they promoted that thing everywhere they could. You had Stan Lee and Carmine Infantino. You go back and you'll see pictures. They're at every convention pushing it.
Wow.
And
well, geez, you'd think it wouldn't even need to be pushed. I couldn't have been more excited when I saw it. I barely knew this stuff at the time.
Was that the first DC Marvel team up?
Of course it wasn't. That was the first Marvel DC team up was the John Buscema drawn Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Yes. And it was also a giant sized treasury.
And it was by Roy Thomas.
It was drawn by Roy. Corey could probably tell better
drawn
than I.
Drawn by Roy. Yes, drawn by Roy Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. It was drawn by the writer, Roy Thomas.
And written by John Buscema.
After I just a second ago established that it was drawn by John Buscema. You could probably tell the story better than me, but the reason that they teamed up to do that book was because one of them was going to do The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And they got wind that the other one was already working on The Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
And so they combined forces, so to speak, and I think they stuck with the Marvel version, or the DC version.
Yes.
Was in production. Ever been seen?
No.
It never got done.
And also, DC was owned by Warner Brothers, and they had a better shot at getting the rights to the movie, whereas Roy Thomas was doing an adaptation of the novel, which was public domain at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes.
That is how Roy Thomas describes it now. It's like, well, you know, we were working on an adaptation of the novel. DC had a better track on getting the movie, so we combined our efforts. And they must have had a buttload of those at inventory because they were still selling them out of Marvel Comics into 1980-81, and it was published in 75. So they must have been stacks and stacks and stacks of that sumbitch.
And do you have one?
No, I don't. I have seen it. I have read it.
Of course you've seen it because they were all over the shelves back then.
Yeah.
Do you have, there was a sequel, a follow-up book to it. Were there two?
Yes, there were two.
There was a third Treasury?
No, there was just the two, and then
two total.
Yep, and then Eric Schanauer,
yeah,
who loved the Oz stuff, did Oz adaptations of the novels in the 80s, and then just in this last decade or so, he teamed up with Scotty Young to do adaptations of all the novels at Marvel as well.
And
it really made Scotty Young a star, because before that, Scotty Young really was only known for that Human Torch series that lasted, like, I don't know, with a cup of coffee and a sandwich.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Which I didn't. I have some of those now, and I've seen them, but I don't think I've read them, and I did.
They're drawn in a very manga style.
I don't even remember them at the time. Yeah, it didn't appeal to me. Schanauer, what was he? Is he the Age of Bronze guy?
Yes.
Okay, so, and...
But I knew him from his Oz adaptations in the 80s.
Oh, you did, did you?
Yeah.
Wow, I do not remember those.
Because I actually, in college, read the Oz novels.
Did he draw the Age of Bronze?
Yes.
And write it?
Yep.
And did he write and draw the Oz stuff, adaptations?
Which is why I thought it was odd that when they came to Marvel, they had someone else draw it. But, you know, maybe he said, yeah, I've drawn these already. I don't want to draw them again.
What has he been working on lately?
I have not seen his name in previews for a while.
I like his art.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much it's evolved over time.
Scotty Young is doing the Rocket Raccoon stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And tons of covers.
Yeah.
Variant covers. Which are usually pretty fun.
But Schanauer's not doing any comics that I know of. Now, that doesn't mean he's not doing comics, because previews, I've talked before, previews is this big, ugly catalog. And it gets harder and harder for me to go through it because it's the print is tiny and it's laid out poorly and it's tough to read and the ads are all terrible. So I just, when I'm flipping through it after about 20 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, this is just painful to read. I don't want to read this.
It's like you've gone to the land of Oz.
It's more like you've gone to the land of head injuries.
The flying monkeys. The ugly part.
It's gone to where people smack you in the face.
With previews.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, you know, 500 pages.
Which is a knockout blow, yeah.
And really, once you get past the first five publishers, you've read half of previews.
I have, speaking of Schanauer, I have a one-shot comic from probably the, I'm going to say the mid-90s, and I may be way off here. It's kind of sad to deliver facts in a world where everyone can, before I'm done talking about it, look it up and get the facts.
Yeah, but if people are at the gym or in their car or whatever, they can't look anything up.
Yeah,
so we can lie to you.
Maybe they'd be intrigued. And
we can lie.
Can we?
Yeah, I can tell you that Sal Buscema drew Conan for 15 years.
And this one-shot book that I'm going to mention was in color. A black and white from, I don't know, mid-90s, 2000. I can't remember, but it was drawn by Schanauer. I can't remember the name of it. And it was written by... great time to break up. The guy that drew the winter, the guy that wrote the Winter Soldier story.
Brubaker.
Brubaker, yes. It was written by Ed Brubaker. It was drawn by Eric Schanauer, and it was quite a cool little one-shot book. So if you like those guys, look it up. I liked it a lot.
I'm a huge fan of Brubaker.
Can't remember what it was called.
DC is going to be reprinting his Batman stuff.
Well, I was going back farther. I thought, oh, you said DC?
Yeah.
I was going to say Loser or The Loser or whatever that book that he did was, but that wasn't DC. So
no.
There's no reason they would be reprinting that. Yeah. Marvel's reprinting it.
And they're also reprinting Gotham Central in an omnibus.
Yes. Well, they
Gotham
are,
Central,
are they?
One of my favorite DC comics.
How many issues of that did he do?
38. He and Greg Rucka were co-writers.
Okay.
If you've not read Gotham Central,
I haven't. I've read some, but not
It's
enough.
The story of the cops in Gotham City.
Oh. I'm the listening audience. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, you don't have to play dumb.
No, I don't have to play it.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks very much.
He's not dumb.
So here at the Geek Expo, I did a couple of Periscope videos.
Oh, good, good.
Which, if you go to my Twitter or whatever, you follow me on Periscope, they're still up, I think.
People still doing that?
Oh, yeah.
The Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I got me a fire-breathing Twitter machine.
Oh, yes, right, you do. I do not.
So I fired up the fire-breathing Twitter machine. We walked around and did some Periscoping. I'm going to be Periscoping with Butch later.
Oh, he is he?
Yep, Butch is going to be on the internet exciting. Whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. In for an inch, in for a mile.
Just dreading it. This may be
well,
the
you
last
periscoped
time.
A little earlier.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a victim of such things.
Yes.
Yes.
We're drawing you slowly into the internet.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be a whole new internet.
Yeah, the internet is this place where people can interact, and you can see all the knowledge in the world, and you know what people do about it?
Yes.
They argue about Star Wars and watch cat videos. And watch a lot of porn.
When they should be reading that.
When they
Ed
should be
Brubaker
listening to this podcast.
And Eric Schanauer book. But anyway, of all the comics I have, I mentioned that one.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. And I don't know. I don't remember what it's called.
See, that's one of the problems. There are times I'll talk about comics where, you know, one or two issues came out in the 90s. I was like, yeah, there was that one comic, you know, about this, and what's the name of it? I don't know. That was 20 years ago, and they only did two issues, and then the publisher went under, and now the creator...
You know all that. And then you think of the name of it while you're driving home.
Now the creator's on Facebook and still, you know, talking about it. I almost won an award 20 years ago. I used to be something, you know.
No, you ain't.
I'm Ed Bundy.
Ed Bundy.
I had 20 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. Al Bundy. not to be confused with Ted Bundy or King Kong Bundy.
Well, and the thing is, the actor's name is Ed, so, you know. So.
Yeah, you're on the right track.
Ed. And how long ago did that show end? 15, 20 years ago?
Opie Cunningham mistake.
I didn't know. I remember when I went.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yes.
1995, maybe?
Yeah, probably. You know why Married Children stayed on so long? The executives at Fox were like, yeah, we don't have anything else to show.
Yeah, it's just Herman's head. There you go. Name the shows that were on in between The Simpsons and Married with Children. Drexel's Class. Did they run Fish Police then, or was that during the week?
That was at ABC, wasn't it?
Yeah, I picture it being at ABC, so I'm stupid.
Herman's Head, you know, they made that into a movie, Inside Out.
Inside. Oh, okay. Too recent for me.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Being John Malkovich. No, I've never seen that. So
Being John Malkovich is one of the strangest, most wonderful films ever.
I need to see it, man.
Oh.
I like my stuff crazy. Hi, Cray. Drexel's Class was actually on Top of the Heap.
I don't remember either of
those. Drew Carey was on Top of the Heap.
What was the George Carlin one, where he played a little miniature something?
Oh, I think there was actually the George Carlin show.
That might have been it.
Nope. George Carlin show was more a straight sitcom type.
Okay.
The one where he played a little guy, I don't remember.
And I also remember one of the early Fox comedies was Mr. President, where George C. Scott was in a sitcom as a bumbling president.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Still not as bad as his stuff on UPN.
As his stuff on UPN?
As anybody's stuff on UPN.
Where was Family Dog? That was another animated series.
That
The Simpsons launched, bounced a lot of
animated. Family Dog was a one-shot on Amazing Stories, and that was on NBC, so it might have been an NBC thing.
Family Dog was on Amazing Stories. Are we talking about the same Family Dog?
Yeah.
The animated show? And on, you think it was on NBC?
NBC, because Amazing Stories was on NBC.
Okay.
And it's funny how I had completely forgotten the show Amazing Stories. It's not being rerun anywhere. It's not. I haven't seen it on DVD, anything like that. And I was looking through some old science fiction magazines. And, oh, look, there's Amazing Stories. It was owned by TSR at the time, and they had all over the cover. No, an NBC series! And you open it up, and it's still, you know, shitty science fiction stories by people who can't get into the good magazines.
Yeah, but, well...
Yeah, this has been rejected by Asimov, and Analog, and Fantasy and Science Fiction, and will you take it?
Yeah, now an NBC series. And a great series, by the way.
Yeah.
It's hard to recommend it when it's not being rerun anywhere.
I wonder if you could get away with an anthology TV series, because one thing we've learned is you really can't do anthology comics anymore. There's Dark Horse Presents,
mm-hmm.
and Creepy and Eerie, and they sell terribly.
But are great. But are great, yeah.
I really enjoy them, but nobody buys them.
An anthology series such as, are you talking like a different episode? Of course it's a different episode every week.
Like Twilight Zone.
Okay, like Twilight Zone. Not three episodes not three different stories in one episode.
No, although they're doing, American Horror Story is this season is the story unconnected from last season.
Intriguing.
And I've heard NBC's doing something like that, and ABC's got a crime series like that. Because, you know, American Horror Story, people are watching.
When was Masters of Horror, and what was that on?
That was a Showtime show, and that was late 90s.
Is it that long ago? I was thinking it was more recent. Enough talk about how long ago that was.
How old are you now, bud?
Oh, my back.
Well, I've told the story before where, here's a box of comics I haven't read yet. Oh, it's kind of new stuff. And
like new.
Wow, I bought it in 95 when the shop went under and they were selling, hey, box of comics, $10.
Yep.
Fill up the box, it's $10. It's like, oh, this is new stuff. No, it's 20 years old.
I still will dig through a box and go, yeah, is it time to read Atlantis Attacks?
And then you read a couple issues.
There is.
You read a couple issues and you go, no, it's never time to read Atlantis Attacks.
I'll just put them all in this, and not just Atlantis Attacks, but other books at the same time. I'll stick them all in this box and get to them later. That's the need to read box.
Where it sits with 22 years of dust on it.
And you look at it, it's like, oh wow, this is early Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
Oh. See, we'll just keep pounding on him.
On Rob.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just smack him around.
Although, Rob. I was going to say, although I didn't hate him then, to be honest, I don't think I hate him now. I mean, what have I got against
him.
Rob Liefeld?
I just, his stuff was unreadable in the 90s.
Yeah. But see, he wasn't responsible. He didn't.
He wasn't responsible.
He was irresponsible. I'll just say he was irresponsible. No one, but in Atlantis
Attacks. The books he drew, he didn't draw.
I think he drew an Amazing Spider-Man annual. In Atlantis Attacks. Oh, no, that was...
No,
was
he drew the New Mutants.
He drew the New Mutants. I think John Byrne... Did John Byrne draw the Amazing Spider-Man annual where he was the Abomination along with She-Hulk?
That might have been.
I can't remember. I shouldn't even be talking about comics. So
hey, let's talk artists.
Let's talk about lunch. I can remember that.
Let's talk about artists who drew comics 25 years ago.
I don't know what I had for comics yesterday.
Well, I think we should go wander around the Geek Expo.
Okay, but here's the question then. What did you read yesterday for comics?
For comics?
Yes.
Honestly, I did not read any comics
yesterday.
Okay,
so most recently?
Most recently, the last book I read was the latest issue of The Walking Dead.
Interesting, because I believe the last I read was the first four issues of The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm starting over. I'm going to read The Walking Dead again. And as you've done not too long ago.
Yep. When I was...
On one overnight shift, I believe you read 140 issues. No?
I was between assignments, because I'm a temp, and that sucks, but I was between assignments, so I did overnights at the group home. And I was able to clock through about, I don't know, between 6 and 10 issues a night.
Pretty good.
And I read up to current.
Then
and,
current.
And one of the things that surprised me was how fast the early issues go. And then it's like, oh wow, they're at the prison already.
Yeah.
I thought that had been longer. Oh wow, the Rick being crazy and talking into the toy phone, I thought lasted forever, but it really was very short.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it was a useful piece of the story, but it's not something you would have wanted to last that long.
But in my memory, it's like, oh my God, he's been doing
this
for
years. 6 months. Right.
It's been going on forever.
And now it's more decompressed?
No. I think it's the same sort of storytelling style after the first 6 issues. He didn't think he's talked about how he thought he would only get maybe 6 to 12 issues. So he wanted to fit everything
right,
in.
Right.
And in doing the TV show, he says he's able to work the pace a little better, which is why in the TV show, Shane lives much longer than he does in the comic. Oh, spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers from
Shane's dead.
12 years ago?
Shane's dead, by the way.
Shane's dead?
Yes. Yeah. Shane dies.
Shane will be the Punisher on the next season of Daredevil.
Yes.
Yes. So, TV Shane. Comic Shane.
He's still dead.
Will he be the... No, he won't be the Punisher.
No, he's still dead.
But Tony Moore, who drew the original Shane story, went on to draw the Punisher in Frankencastle.
Yes.
Yes, see?
Which was one of the stranger stories I've ever read.
Sounds great to me. And the Punisher's back. It was like it never happened, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ask me. And I don't mind. Do what you want to do. Make it creative. Make it fun. Love comics.
Looks like Santa's here.
Santa's here. I can't believe it.
Well, let's bring this to a close.
All right, to a close.
Then we'll do some video. Yep. And we'll be back tomorrow. We'll do more stuff. Joe will be here.
See? Isn't that great? Oh, he's going to get it. So another great conversation about Marvel team-up, or team-ups in the 70s, because that would include 2-in-1 and DC Comics Presents and other...
DC Comics Presents didn't start until the 80s, I think. The only team-up book DC did was Brave and the Bold.
The Brave and the Gold.
Yeah, Brave and the Bold.
And Bold. Oh, yeah, I, Brave and the Bold. I know my comics. The Grave and the Gold. Why was that never an Undertaker title run?
Oh, there you go.
It will be.
Him and Gold Dust. back when Gold Dust was stuttering.
Gold Dust. Gold Dust. Why did they never get that chant going?
I don't know.
All you had to do was take the Goldberg chant from WCW over to WWEF and Gold Dust, Gold Dust. It would have been great.
They were
and when
still,
Gold Dust was stuttering, it was one of my favorite moments in wrestling history. He was hilarious. Not just anyone could have done that.
But instead of Gold Dust, I think they were chanting Gilbert. Gilbert.
And I don't think they were actually chanting that. I always think that was piped in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went to a couple Nitros.
Yeah? Gilbert?
A lot of the Gold Dust.
Goldberg was pumped
in. A lot of the Goldberg was being pumped in toward the end there.
Interesting. And you could know because you were not chanting.
Well, not only were we not chanting, we were way up in the nosebleed seats where the speakers are.
Clear as a bell.
It's like, nobody's saying anything, but it's awful loud.
You're pulling back the veil and you're destroying professional wrestling for all of the comic fans who are listening.
I'm kayfabing it, man.
Kayfabe.
Nothing but kayfabe here on the Crazy Comics and Stories.
All right. So what professionals are listening? Can I say hi to Ron Wilson?
I don't know.
My
you
good
say hi
buddy.
To him. I don't know if he's listening.
My good buddy from the convention. What a man.
Angel Medina says he listens.
Angel listens. Hi, Angel.
He's a nice guy.
My actual good buddy.
Yeah.
Nothing against Ron Wilson. I just don't know him.
I like talking to Angel every year. We talk old comics.
Angel is a great guy. Always has been a great guy.
And you get him. You want to get Angel going, ask him about his favorite John Romita, Gil Kane covers. And he will not shut up for 2 hours. It's a beautiful thing.
All right. That's good. And I could listen to that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's some about the 70s comics that have this weird tinge to them.
You mean looking at it?
Looking at them and hearing the stuff behind the scenes, it really sounds like they were just... Okay. I don't know. Something's due tomorrow.
Well, listen, going back to Ron Wilson, I was complimenting him on this great cover of Captain America issue 232, maybe.
Yeah.
With the Hulk's fist.
Oh yeah,
pounding
Hulk,
Cap.
The Hulk
into the wall.
Captain America crossover.
Yes.
Story.
Yes. I told him, not like it was a great story, but what a cover. I mean, because you see that.
Oh yeah.
It's the Hulk's fist punching Captain America, who's holding up his shield and being crushed into a wall. Great cover, great layout. I genuinely complimented him how awesome it was. And I did mention that you see that and you want that inside the book and it didn't deliver. But he just turns around and says, oh yeah, John Romita had a lot of great ideas for covers. He doesn't even take credit for it, you know. What a man.
Well, cool. We'll talk more later.
We'll talk later.
All right.
Thanks to Butch for helping out. You know who else we need to thank? These guys, our sponsors. This, as well as every other podcast on the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, is sponsored. And if you want to visit all of our sponsors, go to crazycomics.solitairerose.com. That's the mothership, crazycomix.solitairerose.com. It's got our Amazon store. You can go through our Amazon store. The prices are the same as if you just went to Amazon, except they let us wet our beak a little. It's got our other sponsors like Gray's. It's got Dollar Shave Club, and it's got Joe's eBay site. It's got Jen Wicked's Patreon site. You have signed up to be one of her Patreons, right? Well, if you haven't, pause this podcast, go right over there. Be one of her Patreons. That way she can make more art and be on the podcast more often. Go to Joe's eBay site. He throws in free stuff. Now, if you want to support the Solitaire Rose Network, go to our sponsors, including our number one sponsor, our sponsor from day one, DreamHost.com. The best bar none web host in the whole known universe. That's DreamHost.com. If you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you save $20 off your first year of web hosting, and you need a website. We have a new sponsor, and I'm very happy to have this sponsor, and they are Bombas. Bombas have some of the best socks in the whole known universe. Just go to bombas.gotocloud.org/SF30. You want to know why I'm happy to have Bombas as a sponsor? Not just because their socks are great, but because for every sock you buy, they donate a pair to a homeless shelter or a crisis center. We've got all sorts of podcasts. These podcasts are stories about life, about comics, interviews with people, fiction. Go listen to them all. Listen to Crazy Comics and Stories. And if you're already listening to that, listen to Solitaire Rose Radio. And if you're already listening to that, listen to Solo Joe. He'll put out another one. Really, he will. And our newest podcast, novels.solitairerose.com. It's Corey turning the novels he's written into audiobooks. It's new. It's exciting. Go over there. Listen. Subscribe. Another way to support us is to subscribe. Subscribe using YouTube. Subscribe using Stitcher. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Corey Strode at YouTube. That's where we're putting up the podcasts every week. Every time a new podcast comes out and we put up a new video of it. Give us a good review. Review us on iTunes. Review us on Stitcher. Review us on anywhere. Pass those links along. Let people know about it. That's how you can support us. I got some people over Christmas who said they wanted to send me something. That's wonderful. It's beautiful. Thank you so much. But if you really want to support the website, you really want to support the podcast, you want to show us the love, you want to show us you love us, tell everyone you know. Go over to Jen Wicked's Patreon site, subscribe to her stuff, go to Joe's eBay site, buy your eBay crap off of him, go to our sponsors, and tell them, hey, I heard about this on one of the Solitaire Rose Network podcasts. We love hearing from you. You can email us. We have a new email address at solitairerosenetwork.gmail.com. We've got a phone number. You could call or leave a message, and we will play it on the air. And that number is 952-856-0519. And we're all over the Facebooks. You want to support us? When we put up a new episode, share that link. Let people know. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, wake the kids, shake the dog, let the dog know. Maybe the dog wants to listen. I don't know, when I had a cat, she loved listening to me. She would come out here and she would sit right at my feet while I would record, looking at me, begging for treats. Maybe your dog, your cat, your goldfish, I don't know, if you got a pet monkey. Okay, if you got a pet monkey, I want to hear about it. Give us a call, send us an email. But support us. Do it that way. We love you, so show us some love. Thanks. Well, there you go, kids. As the year ends up, I just want to say some thank yous. And because certain people aren't in the episode, I know they're not going to be listening, so they're probably not going to be embarrassed by it. So first, I'd like to thank my esteemed co-host, my brother from another mother, my heterosexual life partner, Joe Crazy Rider. Joe puts up with all of my shenanigans. He contributes to the show in ways that I can't even put into words. He has been a wonderful friend. The reason I do this podcast, the reason we started it up, is because we wanted to make sure that we kept in touch, because he had a job where he was traveling, he didn't have the shop anymore, we weren't able to hang out as much, and we wanted to make sure that we maintained the friendship, and we have, and it resulted in this podcast. And I'm very happy about that, and I cannot thank him enough. I want to thank the third leg of our stool, who shows up not as often as I would like. I actually would like it if she were on every single show, even if she doesn't pay attention through many of them, and that's Jen Wicked. As many of you know, Jen and I have been friends for a long time, but there was quite a period where she wasn't around, and she came back into my life about 2 years ago, and she moved up here in September, and I have been telling people that I already got my Christmas present, and I did. I got my Christmas present on September 2nd when she moved to Minneapolis. And I cannot thank her enough for coming back into my life. I cannot thank her enough for coming onto the show. And I'm so happy that she's around. It's one of the great joys of my life that I get to spend every Monday night with my best friends, Joe and Jen. I want to thank Butch, who has come back as well. He went away when Joe sold the shop in 2001. And came back about 2 years ago as well. And now he helps out on the show once in a while. Again, I wish he was on every show. Butch is a great pal. Both he and Joe came over to bring me home from the hospital when I needed a ride home. Because, you know, when you drive in to the urgent care and they take you to the hospital in an ambulance, you really can't hitch a ride on the ambulance back to get in your car. Especially when they say, you can't drive because of the medications we've given you. Joe and Butch were wonderful in helping me out. I'm so glad Butch is back. Again, I cannot put into words how happy I am that Butch is back. It's kind of amazing to me that These people I've cared about so much have come back, and they're in my life now, and I'm getting very emotional. I want to thank Dan Moore, who ran the Holiday Geek Expo. He's on the show once in a while. He and I work on a web strip called Worldwide News, which is coming back in January. But also, may become something else. We've got some ideas, so look for some changes to Worldwide News in September, if all goes well, and in October or November, if it's like everything else I do and I have to delay it. Dan is a great friend. I've known him for a long time. We met during NaNoWriMo, and it's just a joy to have him around. I also want to talk a little bit about someone who's missing. If you've listened to the podcast, you've heard me mention my cat. You've heard the cat in the background. You've heard Joe talk about the cat. My cat, Fidget. Fidget passed away on the 15th of December. She was 14 years old. She was my jealous girlfriend. Go over to the Novelcast, and you'll hear stories about how Fidget and I got together. And also, you should listen to the Novelcast. The last episode, I threw in a short story at the end that I really liked writing. And I'd really like it if everybody who listens to Crazy Comics and Stories would just go over, listen to the Novelcast. I'm really proud of it. It's something new for me. I'm still learning as I go. Hopefully by the time I'm done with the first novel, I'll know what the hell I'm doing. But Fidget was my jealous girlfriend. When people would come to the house, if they came too close to me, she would attack them. If they tried to go in my bedroom, she would go psychotic and try to injure them. And she was a very spirited cat who loved me a lot, and I loved her back. And whenever we get a pet, we're buying future heartache, because we know that we're going to outlive them. And on December 15th, that bill came due. And I don't know why we love these small, fragile creatures, but we do. And it reminds me of why I do these podcasts, and why I spend time with my friends, and why I get very emotional around certain things. And that is, all we have is each other. And the time we have is precious. Every moment counts. And every day you wake up, it's a good day, because you woke up and you're still breathing, and there's still people who care about you. So for my end of year wish, I hope that you know that people care about you. I hope that you spend time with the people you care about. And I hope that the people I care about know just how much they mean to me. Well, that's kind of a sappy, romantic end to this here podcast, but it's the holiday season. We could do that. We could do whatever we want. Okay, we can't do whatever we want. I can do whatever I want, because it's my podcast. Solitaire Rose Network, baby. We're doing big stuff next year. We got two new podcasts going to be starting up next year, believe it or not. We've got another podcast that may be joining the network. If you're interested, if you've got a podcast and you would like to join the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with a regular episode. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Hit my music!